This is an important spring short here at Eldercare Success. It's a subject that you might not be aware of. When a doctor makes a decision that you don't know about. Stay tuned because this one is a true story and one that you really should be aware of. So let me back up and share our story. I hear this time and time again, and you'd be surprised how often you hear about it, not just with us, but with others. In our particular case, Mom wasn't feeling so well, and we had a good relationship with her doctor. Well, we thought we did. She was a kind, caring, compassionate practitioner who was focused on geriatric care. Well, Mom was 91, so we figured that was appropriate. And if you're not dealing with a geriatrician, you probably should after about the age of 65 or so. But in any case, let me take this back to Mom. You see, Mom had been on blood pressure medication for a long period of time, and she was doing pretty good, even after the passing of Dad, which happened about a year and a half earlier. At least so we thought. Thankfully, our aides were constantly making sure that she was of good health and good physical stature as well. Now, the dementia aside, which really wasn't that bad, but it was moderate and did cause some issues for sure. But in general, she was in pretty good shape. And what we started to notice, or what the aide started to notice, is a little bit more sleepiness. Sometimes she was kind of out of it. And our lead aide always made sure that Mom's blood pressure was tested at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, especially when she thought something was a little off. In this case, she called the doctor because she said, "Look it, Audrey's blood pressure is raising just a little bit, especially at the end of the day, and we're concerned about it." She got me on the phone. We talked about it because I was 1,200 miles away and couldn't physically be there day in and day out. And that's okay. If that's your situation, please do not put yourself in a position of guilt thinking that you can't be with your parent or a loved one every day. It's not possible. But in any case, the doctor said, "Don't worry about it. She's fine. She's in good health. A little elevated blood pressure is not going to cause too much harm." Well, this continued on and on for several weeks. The concern got greater. Her blood pressure wasn't going skyrocketing to crazy numbers, but it was slowly creeping up there. Our lead aide's daughter just happened to be a nurse as well. So we always tended to check in with Nurse Sarah to make sure that our perception was truly reality. And in this case, it was. So here's what happened. It was Thanksgiving morning, and our aides always made sure every holiday was special for Mom and Dad, even more so now that Mom was alone. We wanted to make sure that she never felt that she was alone or lonely or missing Dad, although I know she missed him terribly. We tried to make those days as special as possible. And Thanksgiving was no different than the rest. Turkey was in store, apple pie, potatoes and mashed potatoes and yams and everything that we could possibly give her. And in large doses, because she was only Mom, but in small doses so that she felt loved and knew that we were there close by at hand as much as we possibly could. We called, we said, "Happy Thanksgiving," tooted horns, whatever we could on the phone, and made sure we could also do video calls with her, which we did. But this day was different than the rest. Mom was totally out of it, and our lead aide was incredibly concerned about this. She called the doctor. The doctor actually responded on Thanksgiving Day, which was a good thing, and said, "Don't worry, she's fine. Give her a shower and just put her out in the sun. It's a nice day." So we did that. Mom still wasn't coming around. And a photo of Mom was sent to me, even a video. We did video calls. We tried everything to sort of perk her up and make her feel better. But she sat there, like, definitely out of it. Something was wrong. So the next morning, I was called and asked, "Would it be okay if we take Mom to the ER? Well, heck yeah, absolutely. And I was on that 911 call listening to what was happening, as I always did. Videos on so I could see what was happening as the paramedics came in and dealt with her and the EMTs, making sure that Mom got out safely, on the phone with our aides to make sure that they were off safely and not panicked themselves. And when they got to the hospital there as well. Now, in this particular case, Mom's blood pressure was going a little higher than normal. And eventually, at the ER, she had a seizure. Thankfully, she was at the ER and could get immediate help. Our aide went into a total panic, fear of what was going to happen, and she was there when she saw the seizure happened. Doctors came running and took care of her immediately. Ultimately, what had happened is she had a major brain bleed or an aneurysm. Big time. Millie, our lead aide, was so traumatized by what she had seen, what was going on, and watching the doctors work on Mom, that she couldn't make that call to me herself. The head nurse got on the phone with me and said, "Nancy, you need to make a decision immediately. We are planning to transport your mother out to a medical emergency department that specializes in brain trauma, and we're going to do brain surgery on her." "What? Are you kidding me?" I got full details of what had happened and what was going on and what their decision was. Thankfully, I knew what Mom's decision was. The chance of her recovering back to normal was probably less than 0.5%. Mom always said, if she ever got to this point, please do not extend life. Do not put tubes and pipes or anything into her. Just let her go. So my reaction, as hard as it was, and my decision was to tell that nurse, please do not do brain surgery on my mother. Make her comfortable. I will be down there that night. This was in the morning, and my sister and I got on a flight from Connecticut and Oklahoma, and were down there by midnight that night. We saw Mom the next day, and I knew that I had made that right decision. The question was, though, what had happened and why had this happened? The emergency care doctor came to visit me and my sister in Mom's room, and he said to me and my lead aide, who was there at the time, "This is what happens when you take your parents off blood pressure medications." Bewildered and not sure what to say, Mom's aide chimed in and said, "Absolutely not. We did not take her off. We follow instructions to the T." It was her doctor who had taken her off that blood pressure medication. He stepped back, a little appalled, and knew who this doctor was, and quickly clammed up. After that back and forth with the emergency care doctor, he said, "What would you like to do?" Now, please understand the humor in this. My mom had always said, "Please, if she ever got into this position, just shoot her." So that's what I said to him. He panicked and said, "We can't do that. We can't do that." And I said, "Please understand that that is just a figure of speech." He was not U.S. born, so I understand there was probably something a little lost in that translation. But hopefully, those of you who are listening understand that term and have heard it from your parents once or twice before as well. However, in this case, we made the decision to bring Mom home under hospice care. She was transported back from the hospital to her bed in her own home with my sister, myself, and her aides at her side. We were there 24/7. We celebrated every moment of Mom's life and Dad's life too, with pictures and songs, holding hands, saying a prayer or two, and just sleeping there with her at night, right by her side. My sister and I and Millie, we all took turns sleeping with her, holding her hands, and letting her know that she was not alone. I think that was probably the most important thing that we could have done for Mom, and quite frankly, ourselves too. But the moral to this story really is that when you question a doctor's care, please do so with firmness and respect in understanding what might happen, not just to your parent, but in also understanding what the doctor's position is in these situations. Unfortunately, there are too many doctors who make decisions regarding a patient's end-of-life care without the knowledge of a family member. Full communication in understanding why they've made those decisions is critical. We trusted and we verified. Yes, it does happen. It happened to us. I've heard this time and time again with other families. So we're not alone, and we weren't stupid in our care by any means. We were just trusting. As they say, trust is a good thing for other people to have. If a doctor makes a decision regarding a patient's care or a loved one's care, please ask them why. If you do not agree with their decision, please make sure you get another opinion. Now, when you're dealing with elderly people, chances are that might be a lot more difficult. Not every doctor wants to disagree with a colleague And more often than not, doctors will tend to agree or cooperate with a decision in a hospital where they both serve. This is becoming more and more the norm, and it's a bit of a protection mechanism for the doctors, hospital, and in some cases, for the family. I say for the family because the last thing we want to do is live with regrets. Regrets with decisions that we've made or that we've trusted. In our case, I know my mom was lonely, not that we ever wanted her to die, and so we certainly didn't want her to die before her time, but we also understood that the quality of her life without Dad was a little bit more difficult or a lot more difficult for her. And in our case, just like I say, make every day count, we made every day count those last 10 days for Mom. With love, with celebration, with joy, with life, with music, and yes, with a toast, even at the end, to say, we love you, Mom. It's interesting what happens with a family member when they do pass. Our two remaining aides with us, Iris and Millie, asked if they could be the ones to take care of Mom after she had passed. They gave her the love and the respect that I know she deserved. Emotionally, I know I could not have done that myself. But they did that for Mom. When the funeral home came to make sure that Mom was tucked into the gurney and given her due respect from their side, I looked at her and said, with utmost astonishment, respect, and love, "Oh my God, she looks beautiful." Now that sounds a little weird, but if you understood and had seen how my mother had looked during those last 10 days, it wasn't pretty. And Mom always was somebody who wanted to make sure she looked beautiful for Dad, and I'm pretty sure for herself too. Vanity can sometimes be a good thing at any point in our lives. But those last 10 days, she looked gray, she looked ashen. Her face was even disfigured in a certain level of, I'm sure it was pain, I hope it wasn't, but I'm guessing it was. But when she was put on that gurney, wrapped up in a beautiful blanket, and just made sure that she looked comfortable, is the only way I can say it. I'm not sure if that's the right words, and I'm not sure anybody could have those right words. But the funeral home transport fellows were kind and respectful and said, please take as much time as you want with your mom. We can see in this house, based on pictures and how her room is set up, that this is a house of love, a love for her and for yourselves. So as I walked back into the room with Mom laying there, just tucked in and perfectly wrapped up, with her head showing and her arms underneath, as if she was sleeping, I looked at her and said, Millie, Iris, Cindy, you're not going to believe this, but Mom is beautiful. And they looked astonished themselves. She did. There was color in her cheeks, her lips were rosy red, and there was a relaxed, beautiful look on her face, like she was seeing Dad and was still alive, but asleep. Kind of weird, I know, but she did. I am so thankful of the care and the love that the funeral home, our aides, and my sister gave to my mom on those last days. They were the best we could give. And unfortunately, I'm still angry with that doctor for the stupid decisions that she made without me even knowing or realizing that maybe we could have extended Mom's life by a year, maybe even two or three. The thing is that it happened, and I don't want this to happen to you or anybody else that you love. Question medical professionals at every corner and every turn that you get. You don't have to be contentious about it, but you do have to ask questions so that you can trust and verify and make sure those decisions are correct for your loved ones, for yourself, for your family, and for everybody involved. This episode is rather difficult to do because it's an admission of my mistakes. You, yourselves listening, will make many mistakes along the way. Please, do not beat yourselves up over them and just understand that your goal and my goal was to make every day better. Every day, every minute, every hour, every moment, it's okay. And with that, please, I hope that you share this podcast and this episode with everybody that you love and who is caring for somebody else or might be about to go down this road. It can be your gift to them. Because I hope that you understand that this is my gift to you. Please listen to us again on eldercaresuccess.live, the podcast, and we'll be expanding further on Elder Care Success, the YouTube channel, but mostly here on the podcast. Love to you all. Make every decision a good one. Make every decision count. Please give yourself some respect, some love, some understanding, and know whatever you do, it's okay. Take care, be well, and we'll hear you soon. Bye-bye. This show is sponsored by CareManity, the publishers of How to Survive 911 Medical Emergencies, a step-by-step guide before, during, and after. For your own personalized free file of life, go to www.howtosurvive911.com. All trademarks, brands, and comments are not intended to be substitutes for medical, financial, or legal advice. Please consult a medical, legal, or financial professional for issues relevant to your own personal situation. This show is produced by CareManity LLC. All rights reserved. CareManity LLC.